Welcome to Human Rights and the Digital, a podcast where we present voices and perspectives of human rights defenders in Uganda. We focus on how technology is being used to the realization of human rights. To learn more, please visit www.digitalhumanrightslab.org. This podcast is supported by the Digital Human Rights Lab. Please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to yet another episode of Human Rights and the Digital. My name is Philip Ayazika.
And I am Charity Mugasha. So, Philip, how have you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And we missed our listeners. Yes, I think they missed us. Hanging in here, lots of stress, lots of, it's an infodemic. There's lots of information out there on the vaccine and the virus and etc. But I'm just remaining hopeful and hoping that this gets to pass very soon. Otherwise, how are you, Charity?
Also hanging in there, just like you. There is so much information. There are times I have to switch off my phone for even almost a day at a time just to recenter. But I'm glad that we are here, we're speaking, and we're healthy, we are breathing, most importantly. We have access to the internet, and we're able to just keep the ball rolling. And we hope that our listeners out there as well can just be strong, be gentle to yourself. This is a very, very trying time for each and everybody. So just take it one day at a time. I climbed a mountain a few weeks back, and the one thing that I learned is you just move at your own pace, you know.
Nice.
Just take it one step at a time, and we'll make it through. So today's topic is something that a lot of us are very familiar with, and we're very excited to share it with you. We're going to be dissecting digital and online activism. So what is digital and online activism? I mean, why should we care about online activism? Is it good? Is it bad? What's the ugly side of digital activism? And why should we care? Why should we care about activism on the internet?
You mentioned something. It seems like you've been up to a lot of things in the previous months. That mountain bit, very interesting. I think some of these things we know, there's lots of lessons in there. And thanks for sharing. But also, before we dive into today's topic, again, like I've said, you've been to a lot, right? Seems like you've been to a lot. You even sound energetic. I want to take you back a few months, 1 or 2 months ago. Police Uganda, the organization I work with, of course, organized the Data Fest, which is a data festival, the annual data festival. And you spoke about living with data. I must say your submissions were very thought-provoking, and I think that was a very good lightning talk that was able to kind of set pace on the conversations that happened throughout the 2 days that it happened. I think it happened on the 29th and 30th. Charity, I want to understand for our listeners that maybe, you know, we're not part of the Data Fest. You spoke about the need for, you know, fight human rights violations online, just as we have in the past been tackling human rights violations offline. We are in a digital age, you know, all of these human rights violations that were once offline are also, you know, replicating themselves online. So Charity, first off, what are some of the human rights violations online, and how should we go about promoting human rights in this perspective?
Thank you, Philip. So before I start to even speak about the human rights violation online, I'm just going to share a recap of what we were really discussing, what I was really sharing with the audience on Data Fest. So, you know, when we talk about this digital space, we tend to think about it as something that is other than, you know, when you talk about things to do with data and artificial intelligence, you tend to think of it or approach it as something that is other than you as a human being, you as this living thing. But in the same way that, you know, when we were learning about what it's like to be human, you know, you go to primary school and then they tell you that a boy is like this, a girl is like this, and then this is how you're made, this is how you come into existence, and these are the rights that you have as a human being. You know, now we even have things like animal rights and stuff like that. So when we talk about living with data, data. It's data is not something that's other than, I think that the key thing that we're discussing at DataFace is data is really an extension of ourselves, because there is no data without us as human beings. And so when we're talking about human violations online, I mean, it's the same approach that you have to human rights violations offline. That's the same exact approach you should have even online, because the digital realm is essentially an extension of who we are. Yeah. So when we talk about data, data is encompassing everything that defines a human being. You know, when you put content out there on the internet, when you put a status update on Facebook or, you know, on WhatsApp or on Twitter, that information is yours. You have ownership of that information. When you go onto a website and it's asking you for your identification data, your email, your address, your date of birth, that is all data that is pertinent to you. Without your existence as a human being, none of that data would be in existence. So when we talk about the digital space, you cannot approach the digital space without approaching the human aspect of the digital realm, because the digital realm exists fundamentally because humans exist. And so I think the first step is we need to bridge that divide between this digital realm and the offline realm, because they are more or less one and the same. One is just an extension of the other. And, you know, so when we're talking about some of the human violations, when we're talking about that, are looking at things like, you know, cyberbullying, online harassment, you know, censorship, all of those things that we still speak about offline can still happen online through various tools, you know, on social media. You can get threats and all kinds of things online. But even beyond that, you know, sometimes people think that my rights are being violated when somebody is maybe sharing my nudes on the internet. No, your rights are also violated when an organization gets your data, that data that you innocently gave when you were signing up on an application to use their services. You know, they took your name, your date of birth, your address, and they get all of that data, that information that basically it basically represents who you are on the internet. And then they sell it, you know, they sell it to different parties and they make profit out of your data without consulting you, without your consent, without your awareness, you know. So that is a human rights violation, because in the same way that we consider human trafficking very bad, you know, for somebody to physically sell you to another human being, that is illegal. So if it's illegal offline, why cannot it be illegal online? So we have to be aware that our data is of value, that our data is that valuable. And how do we promote human rights? I think in a way, it's sort of what the Digital Human Rights Lab is trying to do, to just raise awareness. You know, you start by letting people know, did you know that nobody is allowed to traffic you and sell you to another human being in another country? So you're like, okay, so that's bad. So I can report to the police when that happens. So in a similar way, people need to know that when people are asking you for your data, when people are asking you for your name and your date of birth and all of that, you need to ask them how they're going to protect that information. And I see that in different ways as the lab, we've been really trying to raise that awareness through different communities of practice sessions, through workshops, through the online content that's on the website, to let people know that, hey, there's actually a Data Protection and Privacy Act that was passed in Parliament. These are the key things you need to know about that act, and these are your rights. So when a third party comes and they are convincing you to give your information there, you're going to ask them to be accountable for how they will be taking care of that data. And, you know, now we live in a global village. we're interconnected by so many media technologies. And so what does that mean? If we look at the internet, the physical space, we have all these structured spaces on the internet now. We have leaders, children, persons with disabilities, men, women, and criminals too. And so what that means is whatever crime or violation happens offline, let's say, for example, gender-based violence or theft or fake news or cyberbullying, impersonation, hate speech, discrimination, when those things happen online right now, the biggest difference between the violations that are happening online and offline is the speed. Yeah. Online discussions can develop very, very fast. And the online space has the magnitude to escalate something just within minutes, actually seconds. That's how powerful it is. So if we're going to tackle these human rights violations online, it all begins with the individual users. We have to understand that some nations have not yet come out with clear laws to incriminate some of these online violations. Those that have laws, like, for example, Uganda Computer Misuse Act of 2011, aren't very well comprehensive. They have several loopholes and very, very poor implementation. So I'm really glad that we're having this conversation right now. You know, during the second wave, we have another lockdown. Everybody's at home on their devices. People of all ages, young and old, children, teachers, parents, everybody's online. And we need people to realize that they have a role, and we also have a role to bring attention and call out the people that are abusing these online spaces. You know, the cyber bullies, the scammers, the people spreading fake news, the people that are homophobic, the people that are pushing hate speech. We need, for starters, to report these people via the applications. We need to call them out. And you know, that's how we begin to bring the laws, the law enforcement's attention to these violations. I mean, we've seen that on Twitter, where the law is maybe not aware of something happening, and everybody rallies up and goes online and says, hey, something is wrong and something needs to be done. And we've seen the law actually, you know, for the police actually come online and address some of these issues, and sometimes actually punish the people who have carried out these violations. But most importantly, because everybody has a right to use the internet, every single person in the world, every Ugandan has a right to use the internet, the very sustainable thing for us to do would be to reach out to these people, to educate them on internet usage. Some people, for example, do not spread misinformation because they want to, but because they don't know what fake news is and how to differentiate it from right and wrong information.
Interesting. Very, very elaborate, Charity. I mean, we could end the podcast here. Very, very insightful submission there. For me, one thing that stands out in what you've said here, and thanks for like just giving us some throwback onto some of the conversations that happened at the Data Fest. But also one thing that you mentioned that is very pertinent and I think is very important is the issue of, you talked about data extractivism and how all these big techs or even the organizations in our communities, small organizations, the small CSOs, how they use our data. It's an individual's role to ask questions. You know, you just don't give up data, but you ask questions. Why? How is my data going to be used, and etc. And again, you've talked about the, you know, digital, the online violations, the online human rights violations. Again, it starts with an individual. It starts with all of us to just make sure that the internet is a safe space. So, Charity, those are very interesting thoughts. So, again, one thing that has stood out, again, just I don't know what I've said, is creating a safe internet begins with as well as users. You know, as an individual internet user, you decide and determine whether the internet will be a force that liberates us all or enchains us. I mean, by now, I'm sure all our listeners, and I think, Charity, you agree with me that by now we all know that the internet is a great tool. I mean, I'm glad that Uganda just scrapped the OTT, fortunately, but unfortunately, again, they're making the internet expensive. However, I think that's a conversation for another day, but I know that everyone now appreciates that the internet is a great tool and that there's so much positive stuff. There's a lot of things that we could use the internet for.
Please do not forget to subscribe to our podcast. And if you have any feedback or if you need to learn more about the Digital Human Rights Lab, visit www.digitalhumanrightslab.org, or you can follow us on Twitter @DHRLab. That's @ DHR Lab. And on Facebook, we are the Digital Human Rights Lab. We're also on Instagram as the Digital Human Rights Lab. And we are looking forward to hearing from you and engaging with you. And up until next time, from all of us to you, goodbye.
Bye, everyone.